For it is in him we live, move, and have this being. Certainly God is worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
There's nobody greater. Nobody greater than the Lord. Certainly I'm thankful for what he has done and what he is doing, what he is going to do. This is a great day, and we're alive to see it, experience it. And certainly God is gracious and merciful in blessing us in the many ways that he has blessed us. So good to see those of you that are here this morning. Certainly we thank God for worship. Worship is a weapon that he has given the saints of God to tear down the kingdom of Satan. So when you come into the place of prayer, the house of God, don't fail to worship, because the more we worship, the more of Satan's kingdom we are tearing down. Certainly I thank God for Reverend McCoy, who's presided over this service, Reverend Pope for his prayers, Miss Beverly for our thorough presentation. I wanted them to take time in our worship experience because I want us to be well instructed, I believe, in things being done decently and orderly, because that's what the Lord says he wants, that he wants things done decent and in order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. And certainly I thank God for all of you that are here, and it's so good to see all of you. Especially it's good to see Deacon Green. Amen. Good to see you. Amen. Amen. God is working through these deacons and working on them. Amen. Some have been in the hospital, and Brother Wells is here, and he has had his tune-up, and he's better today. And certainly Deacon Green has been in the hospital, and he's here. Deacon Kelly has been quarantined. Not that he had anything, but he's just been exposed, and good to see him as well. Amen. And as always, the chairman is here, and good to have all of you. Listen, the wife and daughter, Trinity, is here. My mom is here this morning, and I thank God for their presence. Amen. Amen. Come on, bless God for this praise team. My God. My God. They are a bad group of songbirds. And I thank God for their angelic voices and their spirits. Amen. Thank you for ministering through song. Amen. And we thank God for you every Sunday. Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. Amen. They do it from the kindness of their heart, and certainly we thank God for that. Amen. Listen, we have heard through the presentations that our services will be abbreviated, and the purpose for that is for us to sanitize in between the services, and we want to do what we need to do. We can worship, we can cut some time and still have good, healthy, and wholesome worship. We're not cheating God. God understands that we are in a pandemic, but he also understands our hearts to worship and praise him and to receive a word. Amen. I'm excited about it. Y'all know I love to preach, and I'm praying that I'll be in order so I can preach a little shorter messages. Amen. But I'm going to give it to you, and I hope you get it. I'm going to give it to you and hope you get it. Two services starting next Sunday. Listen, we're still in consecration, and I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to take part in the 5 a.m. consecration period. We're doing it Facebook Live. We've had people from all over the country tap in. Tune in to the Facebook Live, and it's been wonderful. We have been studying in 1 Timothy, and we're wrapping up 1 Timothy tomorrow, and we're going into 2 Timothy. And I was talking with Sister Browning, and she said, How did you get to 1st and 2nd Timothy? I said, well, I was just listening to God. And listen, there's a whole lot in 1st and 2nd Timothy that helps us even in this time. And I want to encourage you to tune in 5 a.m. in the morning. It wasn't my time. I was going around 6 or 7, but the Lord said 5. And listen, we've been up at 5 faithfully, get up about 5. We'll turn on Facebook Live about 4:58 and give you time to come on 2 minutes. And listen, I'm terrible with names. And so I want to apologize for calling some names wrong and calling you out of the agenda and all of that. Listen, I only had 2 months with you before the pandemic hit. And so it's hard to know names and put names with people. And so I want to apologize to you for that. If I've called it wrong, it wasn't my intentions. And it would never be my intentions to call you something else other than who you are. Amen. So be patient with the pastor. And we'll eventually get it right. Amen. We eventually get it right. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verses 60 through 69. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. My, my, my. If my sinuses wasn't so bad, I would try to sing a little bit. I guess the Lord is working through the sinuses and said, boy, just go and preach. Amen. John chapter 6, verses 60 through 69. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto me of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Are you sure you are following Jesus? Are you sure you are following Jesus? The canvas of the text is clear. The blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the demons are exorcised. The 12 apostles are chosen, the Sermon on the Mount is preached. The 12 are sent forth with the proclamation of the coming of the kingdom and with the call to repentance. And an excitement produced by the mission of the 12 had proven to be extensive. Chapter 6 begins with Jesus in Galilee feeding 5,000 men, not including women and children. The Bible says Jesus performed a miracle by taking scarcity and creating surplus. The Bible says that he took five barley loaves, two small fish. He lifted it. He blessed it. And he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and his disciples distributed it. The Bible says there was surplus because after the 5,000 men, not including women and children, ate their meal, there were fragments left over. Hear me when I say, brothers and sisters, Jesus barely does nothing. Whatever he does, whatever he do, he abounds in doing it. Two small fish, five small tea cakes, and fed over 5,000. After Jesus fed these men, not including women and children, bread and fish, the text says that he restrained his disciples, ordered them to get in a ship, in a boat, and sail to the other side while he dispersed the crowd. Jesus went into a mountain to pray, and afterwards the crowd came seeking him in the mountain. There they found him not, because Jesus had joined himself with his disciples and had sailed to the other side. It wasn't long before the people got hungry again, and they came seeking after Jesus the next day for fish and loaves. They came looking for earthly satisfaction. They came looking for something that was temporal. And so Jesus said unto them that you should have sought me for something eternal rather than something temporal. Let me pause within this particular preaching assignment and say to us that the people that Jesus fed on the side of the mountain are not the only ones who seek him for temporal satisfaction. There are many people that come and sit among us on these padded blue pews who only seek Jesus for something temporal. They're really not with him to be with him. They are only with him for temporal satisfaction. Perhaps they won't help through hard times. Perhaps they want Jesus to give them a job. Perhaps they want him to give them a house, give them a car, give them a cruise, give them cash. They are only with him for temporal purposes. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Jesus would have us to know that he wants us to seek him for more than bread and meat that perishes. He wants us to seek him for meat unto eternal life. Notice what happened when they found Jesus. Jesus shut down the banquet hall for belly satisfaction and opened up the banquet for spiritual satisfaction. In essence, Jesus said, I'm not serving your belly today. I'm not serving you something that's going to satisfy you for only a short period of time. I'm serving your soul today. I'm going to give you something that's going to satisfy you for the rest of your life and throughout all eternity. The belly banquet is closed. The soul serving line is open. Several things I see in the text that warns our attention. First of all, notice Jesus exposed false seekers. Verse 26, The seekers had self-centered motives. Jesus criticized them. In verse 26, he says, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." In other words, you are not seeking me for spiritual blessings. You are seeking me for physical or temporal benefits. I'm preaching, but y'all saying amen. My brothers and sisters, don't you dare think everybody that gathers on Sunday in church is in here for the right reason. Don't you dare think that everybody that shouts his name on Sunday is serious about him. In verse 26, we discover there are some false seekers, those searching for substance and not the Savior, things that's temporal, things that fade, things that wear, things that rust, and things that break. Temporal satisfaction. Let me hear you say temporal satisfaction. We see temporal satisfaction in the fact presented in verse 26, where it says they were filled, which suggests that the feeling had worn off. They were feeling the same way they were prior to the breaking of the bread and fish. Temporal satisfaction. They were filled. How many people come to church needing an eternal fix, but only come seeking temporary satisfaction? Know your life messed up. Know you don't have it together. Know your relationships are tore up. Know your friendships on the rock. Know things are chaotic in your life. And instead of coming seeking eternal satisfaction, you come pursuing something for Jesus that will only get you over and get you through your present predicament. I'm preaching. You just want to get by. You just want to get by because you really don't want God to work on you. You're one of those kind that see God working on everybody else, but not yourself. See, listen, when I come, get all of that other stuff out of the way. Lord, I need something that's going to last. Because I know how messed up I am. Listen, I need something that's going to hold me and keep me when people are not around me. I need a word on the inside of me that'll help regulate this messed up mind of mine. I need something that's eternal. See, I don't know what I'm going to be like next week. I don't know what I'm going to be like next month. I don't know what I'm going to be like next year. If God allows me to see next year, so I need something that will keep on and on and on and on dealing with me. I'm not looking for a temporal fix. I need something permanent. Something that's more enduring. Something that's eternal. They were messed up.
Yes, sir.
And here they were chasing after Jesus for a meal.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't need a meal. I need a message.
Yes, sir.
I don't need anything to put in my belly. I need something to put in my heart.
Yeah.
Do I have any witnesses?
Yeah.
I need something more lasting and enduring.
Yes, sir.
Than just fish and bread. They were looking for something temporal. And Jesus says, well, if I give you some more fish, and if I give you some more bread, you'll be right back tomorrow. But let me give you something that'll keep you. And what I give you, you won't have to seek me for it tomorrow. Because it's not temporal. It's lasting. Jesus says, there is meat that endures unto everlasting life. From verses 27 through 60, he revealed to his disciples the lasting satisfaction that comes from believing in him. Jesus revealed to his disciples eternal life is not by works. It is a matter of believing in him. People sought a sign from Jesus because they were still thinking in the natural. They said, our father did eat bread from heaven, and in the wilderness, God fed them manna. Jesus says, they ate bread, but I am the bread. And if you want to be satisfied, if you want to have it all together, he says, you're going to have to eat me. I'm not giving you manna in the wilderness. I am the bread of life. You're looking at it. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. That's what we do every first Sunday. Symbolically, we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. That's a picture of surrender over to him. That's a picture of full acceptance of him. He says to his disciples that I expose false seekers. People who are seeking after me for tangibles and trinkets. For cash, cruises, and clothing. Cottages on the hill. He says, I expose people who seek after me for men and money and mansions. He says, I'll expose you. They're false seekers. He didn't stay there. He revealed in what he said in verses 27 through 60 that there is a need for spiritual companionship. Notice verse 56. Jesus said to the men, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Dwell in me and I in him. Spiritual companionship is seen in the word dwell. The word dwell means to abide, continue, rest in, or upon. It is being fixed or set and remaining there. In other words, when a person receives Christ by believing he is the Lord and Savior, the one sent from God to save his lost, wandering soul, he's fixed in that. Listen, I'm not questioning anymore. I'm fixed. I'm not guessing. I'm fixed. I know. I've had too many experiences with the Lord to be questioning and guessing. Listen, I know I'm saved. Just like the people of old would say, the reason I know is because he walks with me and talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. I got some companionship. Listen, I walk alone, but I'm never lonely. I got the Spirit of the Lord with me. When people walk away, he's with me because he told me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. I'm never alone. I got somebody with me. Spiritual companionship. For some people, this is too hard. Too much is required. They said, this is an hard saying. Who can obey? Eat your flesh. Drink your blood. Jesus was not telling them to become cannibals. Because God does not permit cannibalism. He wasn't telling them to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood physically. He was speaking emblematically. He says, I'm going to give you me. And I don't want to be on the outside of you. I want to be on the inside. And the only way I'm going to be on the inside is if you put me on the inside. Remember now, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man will hear my voice and he will hear and open the door, I'll come in. He says, I'm not going to break in, but he says, if you hear and you open the door, I'll come in. I want to be on the inside. I want to be on the inside because I want to be the rule of your life. He can't govern you from the outside. He wants to be the rule of your life. He wants to be the governing power, the authoritative direction for conduct and procedure. In other words, he wants to be the course of your actions. He wants to be the way you go. He wants to be on the inside. That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The deserting disciples had a problem with giving Jesus absolute control. And there are a whole lot of people got a problem with giving Jesus absolute control. Kind of like, you know, flying on a plane. Some people can't fly on a plane because they can't fly the plane.
That's right. That's right.
They are not in control.
That's right. That's right.
Some people can't stand ride with other people in a car.
That's right.
Because they are not in control.
That's right. That's right.
Some people feel that they have to be in control of everything. Now, if you in control, be responsible for the consequences. When your life is messed up, don't go blaming other folks for what you have done, because remember, you in control. See, I don't have a problem with getting out of the driver's seat and giving it over to the Lord and going on to sleep, because I know he's a wonderful driver. He's an excellent pilot. He will fly me and he will drive me to the right place. Get control of my life. Some people can't stand the thought of somebody else being in control. He said, this is too hard. Who can obey? He says, eat of my flesh. Drink of my blood. I want to be the rule. I want to be the resource of your life. They had to totally depend on him as the supplier of life. He says, another problem. Because many people think that they are doing it themselves. They think that they are absolutely responsible for where they are and what they have and who they are with. They don't give Jesus Christ any credit. Look at what I've done. Look at what I'm doing. Look at where I work. Look at my bank account. Look how much I've saved. Listen, you're not keeping yourself. Listen, you can have over $100,000 and have one hospital visitation and wipe out your bank account. can be on top today and down this evening. It don't even take another day. Your life can shift and change so abruptly and without announcement. That's why Paul says it's in him we live, move, and have our being. He talks about the resource of life, but then he's the righteousness of life. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. He's the righteousness of life. And one must believe in him to be right. Without Christ, no one can be right before God the Father. I don't care how close to the ladder you are. It don't take violating all 600 plus commandments. You can violate one and be a law breaker. We're made right only in Christ. 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 He preached one sermon. And the mega church, the membership of 5,000 plus, 5,000 of them walked away. One sermon, 5,000 turned back. One sermon. Men said, we can't do it. We'll catch you later. Too hard. One sermon. Brothers and sisters, that's all we are away from people being out with us. One conversation. One word. One contrary thought. One contrary act. One contrary sermon to their minds and their way of living. Jesus preached one sermon and over 5,000 left the church. Jesus then turned his 12 and said, I know before they came seeking after me what they were all about. He says, I know that they weren't really with me to be with me. They had self-centered motives. He looked at the 12 and said, will you too leave me? And Peter, you know, big mouth Peter, he just couldn't hold his peace. But what I like about Peter is that he didn't speak for himself. He spoke for the 12. And he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. And thou art the Christ. In other words, the 12 disciples saw no one else they could go to. Because they said, we believe. We have faith in you. We trust you to be the Christ. We trust you for our spiritual well-being. In other words, we have put all of our weight and we will put all of our trust in who you are. He says we are sure. And that's all I wanted to say this morning, that I'm not guessing about it. I'm not just believing, but I know. I'm absolutely sure. I am aware of. I have knowledge of. I am resolved in my spirit that Jesus is the one. And as I close this morning, Jesus knows who is real and genuine. He knows who is seeking him for the wrong and right reasons. He knows who's sure. And I'm sure that Jesus is the one. I'm sure that Jesus is the Savior. I'm sure that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm sure that Jesus is my Lord, my love, my forgiveness, my deliverer, my friend, my brother, my protector, my security, my answer, my satisfaction. I'm sure that he's my Savior. Well, how do you know that he's your Savior? Because they marched him up the Via Dolorosa, and he hanged on the cross of Calvary in my place for my good. He shed his blood. He died on that cross that Friday evening. They put him in a borrowed tomb, and he stayed in the grave Friday evening, Saturday morning, and Saturday evening. But early Sunday morning, is there anybody in the room know anything about early Sunday morning? If you know about early Sunday morning, let me see you stand to your feet and shout early Sunday morning. He got up out of the grave early Sunday morning. He had power over the grave. He had power over death. He took the sting of death, and he looked back at the grave and said, "Where is your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. I'm sure you can't make me doubt him, because I know too much about him. I know what faith in God can do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in him. Through it all, I've learned to take him at his word. I'm sure. Why don't you find somebody and point to him across the room and tell him, I'm sure. I want to ask you one question before I go to my seat. Ain't the Lord all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Yes. Listen, if you're here or you're listening virtually, yes, you're viewing us through the virtual outlet. Yes. This is a moment God has given us to be saved. Yes, Lord. Invitation is extended. Yes. If you're lost, if you are in your sins, Jesus Christ came from the Father unto men to die in our place for our good. But to be saved, you must believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died for your sins. He was buried, but God raised him up out of the grave. And confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe he died for me. I believe he died to set me free. And the word says, whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. I'm not guessing. I know. I'm following Jesus. Do you know? If you're not saved, you can be saved by simply confessing with your mouth what you believe in your heart about Jesus Christ. Secondly, if you are backslidden, we don't talk about this much in the church now. That relationship with the Lord can be distant and cold. You don't feel like you used to feel when you first got saved. You're not hot and heated inside anymore because there's space between you and God. God has gone nowhere, but you walked away. You've allowed other stuff to come in and to wedge space between you and God. Now you seek God very little. You pray very little. You read very little. God said he's married to you and he wants to restore the brokenness. He wants to restore the relationship. Come, come, come. Thirdly, if you are here or listening virtually and you are in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid this church on your heart. Listen, this is a church that's Christ-centered. And it has been Christ-centered a long time. And this is the place to be. We preach Jesus. Predecessor preached Jesus. This is where your soul will be properly connected and your spirit will mature and grow. Come, if the Lord has laid this church on your heart. Listen, it has been a blessing for us to share this time together. We will close in prayer, but listen, we want to also encourage you to continue in your giving. The church is open Mondays through Thursday. For those of you who do not give through the Givelify, you can come by the church and drop it in the box that's located closest to the secretary's office. Listen, those of you who don't feel comfortable in coming by, we have the Givelify app that you can give through the Givelify. Listen, we have been so blessed through this pandemic, and God is, listen, yes, yes, come on, bless him today. Come on, bless him today. We hadn't missed a beat. God is faithful, but we want you blessed. And I'm only making this appeal to you because we want you blessed. You're blessed through your giving. And if you are true in your giving, God will bless you in your living. Listen, God bless you. God keep you. The choir would sing just a bit. Come on, come on. Y'all bless him today. Remember next Sunday, 8 and 10:30 services. Sunday school will remain virtual. And we thank God for your participation and cooperation and your diligence and discipline. Father, we thank you for today, your grace and mercy that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you, Father, for keeping us safe in our travel, being with us as we have been positioned in this sanctuary for your praise and worship. Father, you have blessed our hearts through preaching. We hear you. And we are not false seekers. We are real and true seekers. We want you. We want you. We want your son. We want eternal satisfaction. Thank you for Jesus. Bless these, your people that are here. Bless your people that are listening through the virtual outlet. Be with them in their homes, in their cars. Lord, as they are walking, enjoying worship, be with them. Protect them and keep them. Give them your power to stand up for you courageously in a day of chaos and error. We pray, Father, that you will cause our faces to shine like you did that of Moses as he descended the mountain after coming from communing with you, O Heavenly Father. Your glory was all over him. And as he went among the people feared because your glory was all over his face. I pray that your glory will not only be in on our faces, but your glory will be all over our lives. That as we go to work, as we go to the stores, as we go to places of recreation, your glory will be revealed. Now may your grace, peace, and the love of your dear son Jesus Christ rest real and alive with us now, henceforth, and forever. As we leave this place, but never your presence, Lord, until that day where we will meet all together in the sweet by and by, in that prepared place where your son will be the light thereof, and there will be no need for the sun to shine, where there's a tree with leaves for the healing of the nation. Until we meet in that place, shower us and keep us in Jesus' name. Every heart say amen.